Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to episode 99 for March 13th. And I'm one of your hosts, Owen Flewelling.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Matthew McClatchy.
And this whole thing is my fault. And it for is, that, I am sorry.
But it is episode 99, not
this
episode 90.
This entire podcast is his fault?
Well, the fact that we're late, but the listeners don't know how late we are.
The listeners don't know that.
No, they don't
the
know.
The fact that the show is going to be short because we're late.
That's
actually
awesome.
It's Owen's fault, and this is why it's Owen's fault. Matthew got a heads up many, many hours ago that I wouldn't be on tonight.
That is true.
I didn't, just so everyone knows. Matthew
but you
did.
You didn't need it because you're not the one editing. So just follow along here and you'll understand why this is your fault. So Matthew got lots of notice that I would be late. So he just went ahead according to plan like it was going to be him and Owen. But then Owen decided he wasn't going to show up either. But Owen was too selfish to let Matthew know, like me, the good host, right? So really, it's Owen's fault.
I let him know as soon as I knew.
He did. Which was 5 minutes before the show.
How many times do we have to tell you, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story?
That's right.
Keep the truth out of it.
And if you really want facts now, the only reason I'm on this show is because you guys don't want to have to lead every other week.
That's right. We need a third person.
You need third person.
Yeah. That's basically it. You're just, you're
all I have to say is fat chicks need love too. I don't know why that fits. But somehow, I think
somehow you're in, Owen, because you're a fat chick, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Huh. So and on that really odd note.
Owen, go ahead. Take over. Help us. Help us help you. Help us help you. Help us.
Yeah,
help.
Bring us back on track here.
Okay.
You help us. I saw a rock.
I'm going to go first. How's that for bringing us back on track?
Sure. Go for it.
Just because that way then I can sleep for the next, 30 minutes after.
Good call.
All I did this week, well, Matthew will cover what we did. Him and I went for a walk, but he can cover that. And,
Matthew and I went for a stroll.
It was a walk, not a stroll. It was definitely a walk.
Yes. In snow. Deep snow. Anyway, all I did really was I worked up a bunch of loads for the 308 and took those to the range. Of course, I can't even reach my targets now. They're out of my reach here. But I did a bunch of loads, 150 grain projectiles and 168 grain projectiles. Everybody telling me, 168, 168. That's what you want, 168.
In a bolt gun.
Yeah, this gun likes the 150s a lot. I still didn't really get it narrowed down to where I want to be, but I had a 3-shot group with the 150s, 41.1 grains of 30-31 powder at 3/4 inch MOA. That's outside of the hole to outside of the hole. Some people measure.
Yeah, you're supposed to measure center to center. If you measure outside to outside, you subtract the diameter of the bullet.
Okay. Well, I don't. Okay, let me just. I got it right here. Let me measure it because it is going to be better than that. It's going to be. Center to center, it's a half MOA. So it's a half inch 3-shot group.
At 100 yards?
100 yards.
Now, how many shots did you actually fire in that group?
5.
Okay, so where are the other two?
The other two are a little bit away. Now, one I think I flinched.
Okay.
And the other one is maybe an inch off that.
Okay.
So I'm going to play around a little bit with these loads. Up a few, up a few bits, few point grains and down and kind of mess around with it. The other one that was in the 150 was 41.9, so it was 0.8 of a grains off and basically shot a 1-inch group with it.
Right. What scope are you running on your rifle right now?
Bushnell 3x9.
Is that a centerfire scope or a rimfire scope? Do you know?
No, it's a centerfire scope.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if your parallax setting was 50 yards or 100, because that might account for some of the the flyers if your eye wasn't in the right spot. But if it's a
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because I do find that the eye relief on it sucks.
Right.
Big time. And when it, especially when it's zoomed all the way in. So when I have it all the way up to 9,
Your exit pupil will be really small on 9 power. It's by 32, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's going to... Yeah.
I was bouncing the scope off my safety glasses, like hitting myself in the face with it.
That's never good.
So, I mean, not hard, obviously, because I know how to shoot a gun, but that's how close I am. It's just the recoil was enough to just kind of kiss my glasses.
Right.
So that was messing me up as well with just my shooting, because it wasn't as comfortable as it could be. But still, that's still no excuse. I do know some of my shots were good, and it's still not, let me see, my best, oops, it's still the, it's still not really quite matching the factory stuff, that 150 grain Winchester PowerPoint.
Right.
That's, right now I've, my best group with that is a 3/4 inch group.
And is that all 5 shots?
That's all 5 shots.
Yeah, see, that sort of consistency that you're getting with that factory stuff, I don't even know why you're bothering to reload, to be perfectly honest with you. I have
just
no idea.
Just so I can?
I guess. Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, if you can reload and get the same performance, then yeah, you're going to save a bit of money. And you might even get a bit more velocity out of it if you can tweak the load that way, but... Yeah.
Yeah, these certainly, yeah. I'm gonna continue. I've got more projectiles, so I'm going to continue to play around. I'd like to get a decent load of each. I want to get the best load I can with each weight bullet so that I have options. So if you know, 150s aren't available, I can get some 168s and know I have a load that is at least, you know, hunting worthy.
Right.
You know, it's going to be good enough. So that's just so I have some options. That's really, really the reason for it. But yeah, this Winchester stuff factory is so cheap that I don't even know if I could reload as cheap as that stuff is.
I would just be bulking up on that and done.
Yeah. I mean, it's $23 a box.
Yep.
For 308. That's
pretty good.
Yeah, that's only just over $1 a shot.
Right.
Yep. So, I haven't done the math, but I might be able to reload a little cheaper than that. But anyway. So I did that. I put 50 or 60 rounds through it. The gun's starting to not loosen up, but smoothen up a little bit. It's starting to kind of work itself in.
Right.
Which is nice. And I'm still popping primers.
Oh, yeah.
I popped one just from the recoil of the gun. It popped in the magazine.
Oh. So your primer pockets are definitely too loose then. That's not an overpressure problem at all.
No. I'm gonna go through and pull all that brass and just throw it away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're shooting for precision, you should be using all the same head stams anyway.
Yes. Yeah. If once I get to the point where I'm really going precision, yeah. But
now, Owen, is it Mix Head Stamp that's doing that, or is it like one particular brand that's doing that?
It's one particular brand.
Oh, what is it?
I think it's the Federal.
Good to know.
I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's the Federal stuff. I had like one box of Federal ammo that I bought when I was just trying different factory loads.
Right.
And
it's got FC probably on the case, or
I'd have to look at it.
PR or something, yeah.
Yeah.
At least if it's one, if you narrowed it down to one head stamp, then that tells you that, you know.
Yes.
Don't use those ones.
Yeah, and it's probably, as Matthew said, if they're coming out under recoil, we know it's not pressure, obviously.
Well, the thing is, though, even when you're trying to find your load, I'd encourage you to use the same head stamp brass anyway. There is that's a variable, and you should be eliminating as many variables as you can.
Yep. Well, I imagine I'll be going with the Winchester brass just because that tends to be what I'm going to buy for factory. So
right. Makes sense. Winchester has great brass.
Yeah. Andy used to say that after Lapua, pretty much Winchester was the best brass you could use.
Yep.
So that's all I've run in my two bolt guns is Winchester brass.
It's all I run in mine, too.
Because I plan on doing up 2 loads for this. I'm going to do up. If I do load for it, I'm going to load up a bunch of bulk, you know, good enough ammo.
Yep.
You know, volume loaded, and, you know, then I'm going to do up some precision stuff where I'm picky on right down to the grain, you know, really be picky with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I need some just for hunting and just for general shooting.
Yep.
But then I'll have the ones that I'll pull out if I ever get a chance to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very cool. So,
and then other than that, I guess the other night I had a friend over. and we cleared the house in full kit.
Fun.
Yeah. And what made it even more interesting is I got my wife, my darling wife, to go around and set up IPSC targets all over the house. Discovered she's way too good at that.
So you missed some.
We died a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would have been dead. It added an interesting challenge because you and I have done that a couple times and cleared the house. And, you know, we would, you know, you go in, you sweep the room, you try to, you know, we're trying to learn the process of doing it just for fun. And we go through and, but when there's no quote unquote bad guys, you know, there's no targets in that room. You're just kind of doing the process of sweeping it without really doing any checking.
Yeah, you're just kind of scanning. You're not really checking every nook and cranny for, you know, a bad guy.
But as soon as you actually have to identify a target and say bang, bang, you know, and then she also flipped some around so they were white targets. And sometimes she left the lights on. Sometimes she left the lights off in rooms. And this was an evening, so it was already dark outside. So it made for a very interesting challenge because you couldn't necessarily identify whether it was a good guy or bad guy.
Interesting.
In the light dark, which is very realistic, you know.
So you just shot them all then, right? I mean,
shoot them all, let God sort them out.
Yeah.
No. No way.
And that, Owen, is why the majority of professional trainers recommend that you don't clear your house, you ensconce. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
But it's still fun to do.
Oh, yeah, it's still fun to do, and it's good to practice, and I think it is an important skill to know how to clear your house, you know, for your worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. You get robbed, and the house is on fire. I don't know.
there's only one way up my death funnel, and there's a lot of pain if you try and make it up the stairs at my place. Nothing good is waiting at the top. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, it could go a lot of ways with that, but I'm just going to move on.
Oh, thanks for sparing me.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So basically we learned take your time, you know, slow down. Yes, you have to entry fast, but once you entry fast, slow down and make sure you check everything before you call it clear.
Right.
You'll like this. Did you listen to the last episode of the Gun Dudes?
Nope.
They went to an airsoft, an indoor airsoft range where they set up shoot houses and they go in as teams and the adrenaline gets going and they're slicing the pie and all that mall ninja stuff. But it's actually like Tommy and Carl went and did it and they were amazed, you know, at how, well, I mean, you can never, and I think Tommy said this, you can never replicate a gunfight.
No.
But, you know, you're in a house with all kinds of shadows and corners and doors and rooms, and you're trying to get from one side of the house to the other without dying while the other team is trying to do the same.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
They did have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And if you have two groups, oftentimes you see this stuff and there's just people running around and just going crazy. But if you have two groups of people that are actually using tactics and actually doing things properly,
communicating,
it gets really challenging. You know, so
they get SWAT teams that go in there and use their facilities and stuff. And
So that was what we did. The guy that came over, Trevor, is the guy that bought your T-97.
Oh yeah. Okay. I like him already.
So he's put, he put a flat top upper on it.
Does he want to sell it?
And he's a machinist, so he's already got all these cool mods planned for it to make it more ergonomic.
Nice.
And he has painted it. So it's
pink.
Painted the not the plastic part. He painted the rest of it. Not really a desert.
Yeah, you lost me. I painted it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to look really bad, but it doesn't look bad.
It's not that painted guns look bad. It's that the finish doesn't last. And we throw our guns around and lay them in the dirt and stuff. Yeah. And then they get scratched up. And that I find looks bad. The paint scratches off and then you can see the color underneath. And
that's what you call natural camo. It just kind of, as the gun gets older and worn in, it just becomes more and more camouflage with more chunks missing. So it's brown and black.
Uh-huh.
No,
it blends into its natural chunky environment.
There you go.
That's what happens when it lays on my sling. He's saying I'm chunky.
Yeah.
All right.
I was going to let it go, but.
Is this thing on?
Hello? Try the feel.
Anyway, so he's done some cool stuff to it, and we had a good little kind of set too. He brought his plate. He actually was wearing his plates in his carrier, which I wasn't, but.
Yeah, that'd be heavy.
It was heavy, but he's young and strong and.
Right. Unlike yourself.
Energetic. Yeah.
So, Matthew, before you start, please note that Owen only had two things on his list, but took, you know, I'm just saying, 20
just took
minutes.
15 minutes to do two things. I've got four, and Trevor's got a billion. So.
And we'll take five each, probably. I'm just saying.
Excellent. Go ahead.
So it's my turn then?
Sure, if you'd like to go.
Okay.
Unless Owen has
but don't let me interrupt you.
You can interrupt me all you like. I interrupt you enough. You deserve to interrupt me. Are you done?
I haven't started. You go ahead. It's your turn.
All right. Well,
you know, unless Owen has like two more things on his list that he forgot to mention. And if you do, Owen, just cut right in.
Yeah. Okay.
Anytime. Okay. So what I did was.
Because it's what you do. If you forget, you just feel free to, you know, hey, I remembered. And just go.
This is going to be fun.
Go ahead. Sorry. It's your turn.
Did I mention last week that I had ordered a new
you
scope?
You tried, but we cut you off.
You probably did, yeah.
Yes,
anyway,
you did mention.
I did. I ordered a Bushnell AR-22 scope, which is sort of Bushnell's answer to the Nikon line. It's a 10-inch overall length. It's kind of a shorter, compact-type scope. It's very quote-unquote tactical.
I'm going to interrupt you because that's what I do now. It's my new thing, but for a good reason. Mm. You got the 22 version, and one of the guys in my club, he went over to Walmart and came home with the 223 version.
He had it at Walmart?
Yeah, he bought it at Walmart over
I
in the States.
I bought mine in Manitoba.
Yeah,
oh, it was in the States. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he crossed over to like whatever is across from where you were.
Right.
He went to the Walmart there, and he bought the 223 version for $150.
That's not bad. Mine was
disgusting.
Mine was just under $200 shipped in taxes.
For the Rimfire one, he goes over there, gets the 5.56 one.
Yeah, but they're the same price. I understand that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only difference between the two is the reticle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's fantastic optic. I'm very impressed with it.
Oh, I really like it. It's got side adjust parallax settings, which is really nice for shooting up close or long distance. It's 2-7 power. Which I find is a good magnification, but it's one of my favorites anyway. Works very well. The glass is very clear on it. I do like it quite a bit. The bullet, it does come with a BDC, and it's calibrated for the main crosshair is 50, the next one 75, then 100, then 125. And my range only goes to about 140, but between 50, 75, 100, and then, it's almost dead on with the bullets that I'm using. What range am I at? 50? Use the main crosshair. I went out to 100, you know, went two down, nailing what I was hitting or aiming at. So,
I wonder, Matthew, if with high velocity stuff out of like an M&P 22, if it would be a little closer.
It might be, yeah. Well, I'm shooting 22, or I was shooting a CCI Blazer through it, which is a standard, higher than standard velocity. It's like 1250 or something feet per second. So it is it's the average speed of 22. So it seems to be pretty good. Anyway, I initially did put it on my Mark II. To try to get some better groups because I had the adjustable parallax setting. I was having some issues with the Crossfire 2 because it set at 100, and this one was adjustable, of course. But I've since swapped it out with Jules' 795 scope. She has a Simmons 3-9x40 on her 795, and I figured a 2-7 on the semi made more sense, and a 3-9 on the bolt action made more sense. So I swapped them out. And I've been plinking with it, and group sizes are definitely smaller now that the parallax adjustment is there, so I can get a little bit more accuracy out of it. But I do need to do some more work on it still. Speaking of doing accuracy testing with that, I did try taking Trevor's advice, and I scrubbed the barrel clean. I got all the fouling out of it, all of the buildup out of it, and I went back to the range and tried to break it in with copper washed bullets because I prefer shooting those over wax lubed bullets. Nothing. I put 100 rounds through it, and it was still 2-3 inches at 50 yards. So I switched back to Blazer, and my very first group was under an inch.
Wow.
So it's
Blazer. A weight thing. It's a weight thing. It doesn't like 36. It likes
no,
40.
Because I shot Dyna Points too, and they're 40 grain. 22s are weird.
Are Dyna Point 40 that much faster than the Blazer 40 or the
CCI? No, they're slower.
40?
They're actually slower.
Really?
1150 in the Dyna Points and like 1250 or so with the Blazer.
That's silly.
Look, they're weird. 22s are weird, and nobody can explain it. I've been all over the forums online, and it just, you have to, whatever
they
rifle
like
you get,
what they, like,
they
huh?
like what they like. You can buy two identical rifles, and one will like this ammo, and one will like another. It's just, there's no, doesn't seem to be any science to it. It's very much sort of a dark art. You kind of have to find what it likes.
We have come across at least three Mark IIs that like the Blazer and the standard stuff, though.
Right, yeah. Owen, you were saying that Dave shoots Blazer out of his, right?
Yep, yeah, that's right. And he found said, that was the most accurate.
Yep. So that's what I'm going to be sticking with for now because I have easy access to it. I will just be shooting that exclusively through it, and I will just do what I can to keep my groups as small as possible. But it's a lot of fun to take it out to the range and shoot. I went out 2 days ago, I think, and I just... When I was done target shooting, I just started picking snowballs off the berm and twigs and branches and leaves and just shooting whatever was out there, just kind of guessing the, estimating the range and then trying to hit it in the first shot, and so much fun. But, yeah, I spoke with Philip H., and I don't know if he wants me to say his last name, so I won't, but he is a listener, and I spoke with him for about an hour on Skype the other day. Because last week, you remember me saying we were talking about that other guy who started doing some machine stuff, and I said, hey, you should build me a custom linear muzzle brake that fits flush on my Savage Mark II. Well, Philip is also a machinist, and so he made me one. So it should be in the mail tomorrow, I think, he said. He's been sending me pictures, updates on his progress on building it. It looks amazing. I cannot wait to screw it onto the end of my rifle. He's clearly a well-educated machinist. He did a very good job.
Philip, I want an A2 flash hider to fit on the thread pitch for my CZ8 fire, my VZ58, but I don't know what thread pitch is because I'm a numpty. I can't help you make it, but it sure would be nice.
So anyway, when that arrives, there'll be pictures up, and of course, a huge shout-out to Philip for doing that for me. He's a definite gentleman and definitely a scholar. Mm. So... That was very cool. And then lastly, Owen alluded to or hinted at the fact that he and I kind of went out for a walk in the woods. And we won't call it hunting. It was McClatchy hunting was what it was. And he got to see firsthand what I do when I go quote-unquote hunting. I just grab my .22 and walk down a trail, and whatever catches my eye, I shoot it. So, basically.
In other words, if you hear Matthews out in the woods, don't go anywhere near it.
I identify what I'm shooting and make sure there's a safe backstop. You saw all that. But the day actually started off with us doing some crow hunting. And we called in some crow or got some crows to come fairly close to us. We didn't get any close enough to take any shots at. But that was definitely the deep snow part of the trip. We were up to our waists at some points trying to get into some good hiding positions so the crows wouldn't see us as we called them over. But definitely a lot of snow where we were. But we figured we'd just give up on that, grab the .22s, and we just went down a snowmobile trail and... Oh, there's a pine cone. See if you can hit that. Oh, look, there's a twig sticking out of the bank. See if you can hit that. Oh, there's a snowball. See if you can hit that. And we just went back and forth and just found targets of opportunity and shot them. And it was fun. I mean, we didn't see any game, but we weren't really after game. It was more of a let's hang out, walk down a trail, shoot things with our guns.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was good. It was really nice because it was pretty easy walking and it wasn't too cold. And yep. We had good conversation and... Shoot
shot
random things at random distances. And
yeah, it was, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people go, oh, wow, you're so good with the .22 rifle. Well, it's not because I'm some mystical guru. It's because I shoot it every time I go out in the woods with it. I'm always shooting that thing. So it's just practice, 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 all it comes down to. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing that, and I look forward to doing that more if I end up in Woodstock anytime soon. So anyway, that was sort of my week in not a nutshell. I guess, Trevor, it's your turn to not nutshell this either.
Okay.
Because we're not doing anything else really, right? Oh, sorry, right. Did I interrupt you?
I don't know, I can't remember.
Wasn't you that was interrupting me earlier?
I was talking to Owen. So how is that interrupting you?
I'm actually not going to keep doing this because
the adults
were
speaking.
I got to lose this title. Yeah, this reputation of being the instructor. So I'm just going to shh, quiet, Matthew. Shh.
Well, what I'm told is people don't mind so much when you do it to us. It's when you do it to our guests. The guest is on so people can listen to the guest.
Oh,
they don't want to hear us.
So it's okay to interrupt you, but not the guest.
Well,
I'm just clarifying.
It's
I'm not
a lesser
being...
of two evils, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
We actually hope that you get all your want to be funny out on us, and then you act mature when the guest comes on, is what we're hoping
but
for.
I hope they don't expect maturity when they come on our show. I mean, they should have listened before. Should have known what to expect. I just wanted to give them the actual experience, the true deal.
No, the listeners, really the guest doesn't care. The guest knows what they're getting into. It's the listeners that sometimes want to hear what the guests say.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Which, you know, then call up the guest and talk to them personally. I don't know. You know. Anyway, okay, what did I do? SR9 arrived, and very happy with it. The shipping was super fast. Shipped on Thursday or Friday, and I got it on Monday. No thanks, Canada Post. The tracking number said that it was out for delivery. I got home from work. It wasn't here. I waited till 5:30, checked the tracking number again. Tracking number said, we took it back to the post office at 3:30 because you suck and we hate you. It made no sense. Like, why did you bring it back at 3:30 in the afternoon? I was home waiting for it.
That's funny because when my Bushnell or when my scope arrived, I went to the post office to pick it up and arrived 2 minutes too late on Friday. Which means I had to wait Saturday, Sunday before I could
better,
pick
Matthew.
It up on Monday.
It gets better. So when I see at 5:30 that they brought it back to the post office. Oh, did I say post office? I meant drugstore because for some reason, that's where you get your parcels in Camelton. We got a perfectly good, fully stocked with employees, Canada Post Office, but you can't go there for your parcels. You have to go to the drugstore. So I walked into the drugstore and I'm like, does this mean I have to get my prescriptions filled at Canada Post now? Nothing. Crickets. She's like,
she didn't get it.
Nothing. So anyway, I go over there. I'm like, tracking number says that there's a parcel here for me. She checks. Anyway, stumbling and bubbling. Finally, she came out. She gave me the SR9, signed for it, came home. The next day, I get home. The door knocker saying, you have a parcel at the post office and it's waiting for you, is in my mailbox. But this guy is sharp. Like, he didn't even bother to try and bring the package to me the next day. He just brought me the door knocker.
Well, what was he going to do with it, really?
I mean, yeah, really. I mean, he filled it out on Monday.
It is yours.
Yeah. So the SR9 was advertised as having 250 rounds through it. The firearm looked factory clean. It looked unshot. The only way you could get a gun that clean it was really, really factory clean. I was super impressed with it. Very little signs of wear, like amazing. I did a trigger job on it, which was completely unnecessary. I just basically removed the dull surface on the parts and kind of polished them up to a nice sheen. Couldn't distinguish any difference before and after. The trigger on this, Matthew, is not the trigger I remember on yours. And that doesn't mean it's better. It's just my memory of your SR9 trigger. I remember it being having a really long reset and starting way out and pulling all the way back and then having to go all the way out before it resets.
Mm-hmm.
And the SR9 trigger here, this SR9's trigger is really light compared to all the other striker-fired guns I got this year, including the FNS. It's really light, and it's not crisp like a Glock. It doesn't have a distinct, you know, you pull the first stage of the trigger, it stops, then you pull it past and the sear, and no, there's no clear, distinct snap, glass rod type thing, right? It has what you could describe as a rolling break, so it's light, and it's not crisp, but it doesn't feel bad. You know what I mean? Some people really like that quote unquote glass rod. And then some people actually tune their SR9 triggers so that they have that rolling break because they find that rolling break is not as abrasive and it doesn't disrupt the sights while they're aiming, trying to be, you know, really precise. So I don't hate the SR9 trigger at all. It's actually pretty good. It's different having that rolling break. But, the one thing I notice is the reset is much shorter than I remember. So.
Well, that's good. That's fantastic. Yeah, mine really was quite long.
Yeah, it really is good. I'm going to do a full review on the gun. Well, not a full review because, I mean, it's hard to beat the review that you have on your YouTube channel. If you search SR9 on YouTube, Matt's channel and Matt's review is like the second or third one that comes up in all of YouTube. So it's a very, very popular video. His SR9 video and then his SR9 versus Glock or comparing and contrast with the Glock. Those are two really popular videos. But I will give my impressions of it. For now, I will say this. I mean, it's been said that three things make a good combat pistol. Reliability, a good trigger, and good sights. And the SR9 has two of the three. I, for one, don't like the sights. The rear sight notch just doesn't work for me. Even though you focus on your front sight, the back dots kind of blur out more than...
I understand what you're saying, and I did find the same thing. I took a black magic marker and blacked out the two rear dots, and I found it helped quite a bit.
And I will, because my competition gun is a red dot, a red fiber optic or a green fiber optic, depending on the mood I'm in, and a flat black blade or notch in the back. And the Glock, well, the Glock has night sight, so that's different. But yep. I would get rid of the U, and then my MMP, I blacked out the dots. So I'm going to black out the dots on this too. But even still, Matthew, did you find the notch narrow?
It was, yeah, it was kind of narrow, but I found that it helped helped with accuracy.
Now, see, I think it's going to affect accuracy.
It's going to slow down your speed for sure.
But staying on the line, trying to shoot a nice tight group, I'm thinking that it may actually hinder accuracy because it might be difficult to determine whether or not you get an equal amount of space on either side of the front post.
I found there was enough there that you could get a decent. You could see the front sight decent enough in the daylight. I could anyway. I mean, if you're just playing with yours in your house, you might not have that the bright sun to kind of help.
And it's kind of not fair for me to pick on that because my Glock has a set of Trigicon night sights on it, and it's also very, very narrow. But I'm able to shoot that with no problem. So, anyway.
You'll know when you get it out to the range and shoot it.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with it. I really like it. It's very narrow. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later when I do the review. I loaded some 9mm ammo this week, and I got in lots of dry fire practice as well. I've been watching Hot Shots. I didn't even know this Hot Shots television existed. Are you guys familiar with this?
You told me about it. I went on YouTube to find an episode to watch it the other day and got sidetracked and never actually went and found it.
Owen, are you familiar with Hot Shots TV?
No, I'm not.
All right. So real quick, it's a documentary series that follows the competitive season of three or four professional shooters, depending on the season. So it follows them around. If they're exhibition shooters or competitive shooters, it follows them from match to match and kind of just, and it's not like it's reality TV, but it's documentary style reality TV. It's not Sons of Guns. It's people like Max Michelle, Jerry Mikulik, Patrick Flanagan. There's an archery guy in there, shoots balloons. I don't care. He's whatever.
So there's not all the, hyped up drama.
No, it's not scripted. Right. It follows Jerry, his wife, and his daughter to Hungary for the IPSC World Shotgun Shoot, stuff like that. It's just, anyway, it's given me the bug. It's gotten me warmed up for the IPSC season. I can't wait. And so I've had my my IPSC gear on, practicing my draw, and I'm struggling. I'm down to a ninth, under a second, 0.9 of a second. And I think it'll get better because I'm kind of caught between the draw that Tommy taught me and the draw that I used to use because I'm a little rusty and I haven't practiced in a while. I'm kind of like going halfway between the two. And anyway, it's going to smoothen itself out with more practice. So I've been getting in some dry fire practice every night, getting warmed up and stuff. Speaking of IPSC, SummerSlam registration is now open. So I've been busy with that. Emails come in and EMTs come in and I have to print them, the application and process the EMT and all that good stuff. And I put the final touches on our sanctioning. So it's now sanctioned. The stages go to the president of IPSC Canada. He reviews them. Then you send them to IPSC World. They would be doing their job if they didn't find something to scrutinize. And they did. One was a typo and the other one was just, you need to clarify this. And then they told me, you really shouldn't have a shooter start loaded facing uprange. And he went on and he went, blah, 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 inherently dangerous, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote back and said, we're running around with loaded handguns in the dirt, up and down hills, everything we do is inherently dangerous. Stop being a safety Sally. I want to start with a loaded gun facing uprange, turn around, I will. And in Canada, we train for this in our black badge. It's one of our drills. Anyway, in the end, I went, all right, go button unpressed. I deleted it all.
Good for you.
And I wrote this. Your concern has been noted. However, since there is no rule preventing this start position from occurring in the sport of IPSC, we're going to keep it. Thanks.
That's much better. Way better than the other one.
And he wrote back and went, I agree with you. There is no rule. However, blah, 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 yeah. blah, sanctioning approved. Thanks for coming up. So, what else did I do? I installed a set of night sights on a Glock 19. This Glock 19 is really cool. Local
guy
has
it. You got a Glock 19?
I didn't say that. I said I installed sights on a Glock 19.
I know. I was just getting hopeful.
Yeah, well, after handling it, I think I might get one. It's a Gen 3 Glock 19, but what's cool about it is it actually has a Glock factory threaded barrel in it. So it's like, okay, the barrel's extended, but the barrel's supposed to
be
extended because...
it's supposed to be. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I should get one like that, too.
Oh, you should. So it had the suppressor sights on it, so rip those off and put on the regular night sights. Has a fantastic trigger for it's a Gen 3 Glock 19, and really, really fantastic trigger. And when you know, I love how a 17 feels in my hand.
Yep.
But the way the grip of a 19 fits my hand, it's like, oh, this is like, it's like perfect. It's like James Yeager said, like him or what, or make fun of him for running in a ditch. That's cool too. Whatever you think about James Yeager, he did say this one thing that I agree with. All guns should be Glocks and all Glocks should be 19s. Might be the smartest thing he ever said. Then I went to my monthly club meeting. That's always interesting. We've got a new executive and they're new, all right? And they're learning to do the job. There's only two guys on the executive that aren't younger than 25. So, yeah. But it's going well.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting year then for you.
It is. It is. You know, we're going to support them and stuff. They just, they're getting experience as they go, and they're going to do a good job. They just need to get going with it and stuff. And, you know, and I love it, right? When one guy comes up to the president at the end of the meeting and goes, well, you should do this, this, and this. And he says, well, if you want the job, you could take it and then show me how it should be done. You know, I love you, man. That's awesome. And then after the meeting, I got my 870 back.
Nice.
Yeah. It's good to have it back. It's just the way I left it. Perfect. So
awesome.
And then I went to the reason why we have a short show tonight is because it's Olin's fault. I went to the range to shoot my bow. I got some new arrows. Really amazing, amazing deal on these new arrows. They're essentially an Easton arrow made for Cabela's. Didn't group super well tonight while shooting. I don't know if it was me, if it was tired. I haven't shot in a couple of weeks. But I got to go back and compare them to my old arrows and paper test them, which is a method of determining if your bow is tuned by how the arrow rips through the paper. And I didn't take time to do that tonight. So I'll go back and check and see if things are tuned properly with these particular arrows and then if see about adjusting accordingly or going back to the other arrows, or maybe it was just me, because sometimes you just suck at life. And today may be one of those days. So that's it.
Cool.
Yep. That's all I got.
All right. Upcoming events then. We've got a few of those to mention. Like we do every week, the 5th annual charity shoot is on June 27th. All proceeds going toward the Dalhousing Nursing Home Foundation.
My future home.
There you go.
5 more years, baby.
Do they take people with blown out calves, though?
And plantar fasciitis, which is something else I have. And tennis elbow. I'm falling apart all over the place.
They should rename that to IPSC elbow.
IPSC elbow.
I got IPSC wrist and tennis elbow. There you go, IPSC wrist. That's when you're shooting 40 when you should be shooting 9.
Oh, and I get a 44 Magnum. I'm sure it'll do wonders for my wrist and ankle. Or my wrist and
calf
elbows. My calf. my calf healed quickly. By quickly, I mean 4 months.
Sorry.
Then we have the para course with Tommy Nelson on July the 3rd, with a mini match the next day, July the 4th. The course is full, but come out for the mini match if you're in the area or want to fly from out of the area into the area to
IDPA
participate.
IDPA mini match.
Yeah, it's IDPA.
It's an IDPA mini match.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys should totally come check it out.
So no black badge required for that, obviously. SummerSlam, that is on August 8th and 9th. Registration is now open. So you can go to the Restigouche. Is the Restigouche Gun Club have the link to it? Probably.
To what now?
to registration.
Registration for SummerSlam?
Yes.
Yeah, registration. I'm texting. Registration for SummerSlam and the invitation. Oh, Matthew, we need to get the invitation made for the Tommy class and the cherry shoe because Bolivar's crying about it. So
okay. Well, we'll just tweak the one from last year and resend it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. Do you have it?
It should be in the drive, but we can talk about this after the show because
it's funnier now because it's all Bolivar's fault that we have to have this conversation now.
Thanks, Bolivar. Wasting our time.
Yeah, man.
Listeners don't want to hear this except for you.
Registration form is on the front page of the Rescue Gun Club for SummerSlam and the ATT request letter for the invite.
Okay. All right. And the NFA AGM is May 23rd, 24th in Quebec City, Quebec.
We hope.
And on that note, we're going to be a bit of an update here on the NFA situation, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of our main topic for the evening.
Yeah, because after this, the show's done. So what we got is we have an update from Darlene, the Ontario director. Then we have some news about a legal action. And then we have news about information about how to contribute to a fundraiser if you're so inclined to help pay for the said legal action. So we'll start with the update from the Ontario director, and this is off of her Facebook page. She posted it on another Facebook page, so I felt it was good to go to share it here because if it's shared publicly on Facebook, I don't see why we can't share it here. And if we can't, she will hunt me down. And we'll deal with that when it comes. So she's got some bullets here. And the first one says, the situation is very serious, and it's a crisis for our organization. It is not about personality conflicts or picking sides. It's about half of the directors of the NFA being prevented from doing their jobs by other directors. Board meeting minutes are supposed to be a fair and accurate record of the information and decisions at a meeting. They are critical for accountability and financial control in organizations. These minutes posted on the NFA website about the March 2nd board meeting are not approved and are not fair or accurate. We will never approve unfair or inaccurate records. And this is just a little caveat for me about this. If you have a meeting on Monday, the 1st of May, on the 1st of June, you have another meeting. One of the first things that's done is the minutes from the previous meeting are presented from the executive to the board and to the members of the club that are there, what have you. And they're checked for errors or omissions and then voted on and accepted as being accurate. Mm-hmm. So the minutes that she's referring to have been posted already without being approved by the board. Right. So there's no way that they're considered quote unquote legal.
Right.
Because the next meeting to approve those minutes hasn't even occurred yet. Third bullet point, she says, all corporate directors, I was going to say dictators, that's a little Freudian slip. All corporate directors are entitled to go to the office at any reasonable, and she's referring here to the NFA headquarters office in Alberta. All corporate directors are entitled to go to the office at any reasonable time and inspect the original records, to hold and the old and current bylaws, the minutes, the notices, the resolutions, the financial statements, the auditor's reports, the list of members, directors, and officers. Alberta Director Erica Clark was denied that inspection, which was against the law. Just like a plumber can't fix a leaky pipe if you take her wrench away, we can't do our jobs and fix the NFA without corporate records. We need to find out who obstructed our access and what they're trying to hide from us. Number 5. When we talk to Sheldon on the phone, we don't get answers to our questions. When we try to arrange a face-to-face board meeting with a mediator, Sheldon says no. When we move motions at board meetings, Sheldon rules them out of order, and Sheldon prevents them from being discussed. When Sheldon's adjournment motion is defeated by the board, Sheldon just shuts the meeting down by himself. When we hold Sheldon accountable, Sheldon pretends we're no longer directors. When a member questions Sheldon's actions, his membership is rejected. When we ask for corporate records, Sheldon has the NFA lawyer threaten to take away our membership as directors. We're not the bad guys here. We retained a law firm to help us with this, and they're taking Sheldon to court so that we can do our jobs as directors. We have no choice. We refuse to be bullied, and we will not look the other way. We will end the abuse and make this organization stronger. Thank you all for your continued support. Everything that's said there, just so you know, is not hearsay. It can be verified, including somebody not having their membership renewed. Multiple members coming out and questioning Sheldon or criticizing Sheldon for his decision to fire Sean without the board's approval are being banned from the NFA Facebook page. I am supposed to be the coordinator for the Province New Brunswick, and I'm banned from the NFA Facebook page. How can I be the coordinator, be an officer of the NFA, and represent members, and yet be kicked off of the NFA Facebook page because I asked Sheldon to step down because the members asked him to step down? It's very poorly run right now. I don't know where I stand with the NFA, because it's just and the other thing that I personally find frustrating is if you go to the NFA's official Facebook page, the one you can't like post to the wall or anything, business as usual. You go to the NFA website, business as usual. If you're an NFA member, you get emails almost daily, business as usual. Nothing that says I've been asked to leave and I'm refusing to do it. Nothing that says five directors are paying out of their own pocket to sue me because they voted to get rid of me and I'm refusing to go. Anyhow.
But having said that, Sheldon is not the NFA. As much as anybody would like to think, he's not. He is the president of the organization, but he is not the NFA.
That's correct. He is
so,
elected.
So in a sense, there are certain, you know, the official things should be business as usual, no matter whether it's Sheldon is president or who's the directors or who's employed by the NFA, that should be business as usual. The thing still has to operate.
I agree, but officially they're not making this conflict public to all of the members, and the other members who maybe aren't on Facebook should know that this conflict has arisen and should know that their membership dues are going to help pay this legal bill.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's as intentional. I would think that would be intentional because people would be all up in arms about it.
And I spoke to my club last night, and I addressed them because we are an NFA club, and no one in the audience held an individual membership, unfortunately, but it was important for them to be aware of what's happening in the association that provides them with their insurance. Mm-hmm. And that's true for every member coast to coast who is a member of an NFA club. That's where their insurance is coming from. I think they would like to be aware of whether or not they might lose their insurance in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So, anything from you, Matthew, before we talk about the GoFund?
I'm good.
Okay. So, an individual started a GoFund to help the five directors fund their legal costs. And so you can go to www.gofundme.com/supportfreedom. And I unfortunately have not clicked on this link yet. But go check that out and see if you can find the information to help them donate. They're actually doing surprisingly well.
They have over $8,000 raised so far of the $10,000 that they're looking for.
That was my next point, yeah. So.
Sorry, I didn't. I just clicked on the link because you said you hadn't yet, so I thought I'd click on it, and so there you go. It works.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, and I think that's all we have, right, guys?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, all no. Right. Sorry. Nope. They NFA, Sheldon, has officially been served with papers. It has occurred, and the court date is March 20th.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's something to keep in mind and to be aware of whenever that date comes and goes, and we'll see how things turn out.
Yep. So.
Very good.
Yep.
All right.
Owen, back to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's it. So that's all this is going to be a short show for people today. Hopefully we don't get tired and feathered or anything.
Well, it's not that. It's still going to be close to an hour. 45 minutes, I guess.
Yes, just because of the late start and everything, we had to cut it short. So everyone who sent an email, don't worry, we will get to it.
We got lots. We got some really amusing ones to go through as well. So we're looking forward to that next week.
And next week is the 100th episode. So
you know, next week it's mostly just going to be email, I think. So if you want more email, send us an email. And next week is all email. 100th episode. It's all about you, listeners, because you guys are the best.
100th episode, 100 emails. Let's see if we can get 100 emails. No,
oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? And Trevor's reading them all. Yes. And then Owen's reading some, and so am I.
And then, no.
But we're not editing any of them either.
Shoot me 100 times.
It should be fun. But yeah, that you know.
Yeah, who knows what will happen. Okay, so iTunes review?
No. I did check. Incidentally,
iTunes, not iTurns.
iTurns, yeah, no. iTurns?
I don't know.
Okay, you two done? Peanut Gallery, settle down.
Go.
Okay, we have 74. It's late. Can you tell it's late? We have 74 5-star reviews right now. 74. Oh. Which is amazing. But
how many
love to have
5-star reviews do we have?
They're all 5-star reviews.
Wow.
I would love to have 75, but it would be even better if we had 100 by next week.
And we check them ourselves. So whoever that's a cheap shot or a dig at, I don't know, just take it.
Anyway, yes, iTunes reviews are cool. We do like them. So if you feel so inclined, go nuts. And if not, send us an email instead.
Okay. Shoutouts.
I got the first one here to our buddy Tom Nelson for all the love that he gave the three of us this week on the Armed Couples podcast. And since they've been so kind to us, I'm going to call it by its proper name, the Armed Couples podcast, and not the Overbearing Wife or the Controlled Husband podcast. But you see how I worked those titles?
Yes, I see how you got that backhanded compliment in there.
Oh, the show is actually really good, and I'm not just saying that because I rocked on one of their episodes. But, no, the show is awesome, and I did say this before. I'll say it again real quickly. I think it's one of those shows that serves a very special need, right? We've got the new shooter. We used to have service conditions, and we kind of got a show about modern rifles. No, it's not really about modern rifles. And there's Appleseed Radio. Man, I am just not winning any favors tonight.
You're not doing well.
Armed Couples is a great show, and it's an awesome resource for husbands and wives who are looking for one-stop shopping for a whole pile of information about gear, training, lifestyle. It's awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, this next shout out goes to Kevin Latham for sending in links to, speaking of Appleseed, to the nearest Appleseeds to us. So there's going to be one in Maine, and he also sent a link to the Maple Seed that's being held in Bancroft, Ontario this year. So oddly enough, if I leave my country and go to another country, it's closer than it is for me to stay in my own country to go to the Maple Seed. So I might go to this one in Maine. I'm not sure yet, but if I can find a travel buddy, I think I'll go and check it out. It should be fun.
Okay. And whoever's got the next one.
Oh, I put it in, but it's sort of for Trevor, but he doesn't know, so it's okay. So the next one's...
Trevor, you have a shout-out that Matthew put in.
I put it in for you.
Thanks, Tony, for sending me a list of good bug-out bag items that I haven't seen yet. But that's awesome. Yeah. No, I asked for that. That's cool. Thank you very much. I look forward to looking at it. Where is it? Is it in our email? What's going on?
Well, it was in our email. I assume because it had been in our email for over a week that you had read it, and so I've archived it. But if you go searching for it, it's there. Yes, you can. The last shout out.
Just get it up on the screen, and Christina can dictate it to you.
Yeah,
perfect.
Text to speech.
Yeah.
Do the and then Trevor, what you would need to put in your bag.
Hey, Stephen Hawking's on the show. Awesome.
All right, this last shout out before we completely go.
That.
Yes, before we go completely off the rails, I'm probably not going to cut that, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Sylvain sent us, he sent us an email, and he just wanted to let us know that he joined the NFA because of us. So that was very cool. And he apologized. I read his email a couple weeks ago, and I had a hard time with it because it was. In English, and French is his first language. So he apologized for his poor English, and I just want to tell you, your English is way better than my French, so don't feel bad. It's my fault, not yours.
And Sylvain, I want to apologize to you for my poor English.
Even though it's his first language.
So Sylvain is awesome because you know what? Not only did he join the NFA, since I was the first of us three to reply to his email, I gave him my membership number, so he put me down as the person who recommended him or whatever. So he puts my membership number in the draw for the Son of the Big Freaking Gun.
Very nice. I hope you win it.
If I win it, I'm going to have to sell it and share it with you guys because he said all three of us were responsible for him joining, but it's my NFA number that went in.
you get the, yeah, we'll just split the cost on the ammo. We'll just share it.
No, here's what we'll do.
Okay.
I'll get it every other weekend.
Okay.
Right, we'll share it like a child.
I'll get Mondays through Tuesdays. Home. Owens can have Wednesdays through Fridays. And Trevor, perfect. You can get the weekends.
Yeah. And sometimes it'll go to the grandparents.
There you go.
Great.
Funny.
Okay, well, I think on that note, we should...
There's a note?
On that note, yes.
That train wreck.
On that train wreck, we should tell everyone to check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcasts.com. Join our National Firearms Association, the CSSA, and the NFA. And check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. Like us on Facebook. Shout our name from the rooftops. Whatever else people want to do to spread the word. And that's the end of the show. So long for now.
I guess we'll catch you next time.
Take somebody nut protecting.
A nice little shout out to the Arms Girls Project.
Take somebody shooting, protect your nuts.
Yeah, I get it. Even some of the listeners might get it too, especially now because I'm leaving all this in too.
I was explaining it for the ones that don't.
Right.
I am on Burgundy.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. Glad
I don't care who you are. I'll hang up on you. You diss me. You
cross the line, you're gone.
Yeah.
He was actually dissing me. He was telling me to turn my mic down till he couldn't hear me.
Oh, I thought he was talking to me.
No. So you came to my defense without knowing it. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, look, I do what I can. Even if I accidentally have your back, I still got it.
I really hate to break this to you, Trevor, but I was talking to him.
Oh, vindicated.
All right. There you go. I didn't get burned, and you didn't hang up on him for nothing, and he's still a jerk.
Yep.
It's a pile of win. How many pickled eggs can you eat before you A, get sick, or B, I don't know.
Well, look, there's only one way to find out, and I am willing to allow you to.
No, yeah. I volunteer you.
Okay.
You're my huckleberry.
I can't go to work tomorrow. Why? My podcasting buddies encouraged me to eat a whole jar of pickled eggs.